The most comprehensive measure of the American jobs market is due in about an hour and a half. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This morning, it will be the December employment and unemployment reports from the Labor Department. Late summer hurricanes disrupted hiring in September, then in October and November, a rebound with over 200,000 jobs added in each of those months. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, that may be a tough pace to match in this new year.
With low unemployment, it's getting harder for employers to fill jobs. As a result, says Jed Kalko at jobsiteindeed.com,
I expect we'll see the monthly job growth continue to taper off slowly in 2018, as it has for several years.
Job growth averaged 250,000 a month back in 2014. Last year, it was down to 174,000 a month, though that's still more than twice as many jobs as can be filled by young people entering the workforce. Kalko says employers are settling for candidates with less education. Also,
more and more people are searching for jobs using terms like no background check.
Joe Bruzuelas at consulting firm RSM says labor shortages are driving businesses
towards a substitution of technology for labor in order to make up those gaps.
Bruzuelas predicts businesses will spend some of the money they save from new corporate tax cuts on automation. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. So are Dow and S&P futures. That's a Dow that's above 25,000 this morning after its rise of 152 points, 0.6% yesterday. 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.46%. This is a tough flu season, and you're seeing it in the number of hospitalizations, according to CDC data. Researchers say it's a nasty strain of the virus this year. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Flu-related hospitalizations are at least double what they were in the winter of 2014, one of the roughest flu seasons recently. One factor, this year's flu shot may be less effective against the dominant flu strain out there. The CDC's Matthew Biggerstaff says scientists are still learning what drives the severity of a flu season.
Whether this is something with underlying population immunity, or is there some sort of factor with the weather? To me, there's not been a smoking gun.
What's clearer is cost. Biggerstaff estimates hospitals will provide $7 billion in flu-related care, assuming costs mirror previous research. Financially, this isn't great for hospitals, says Fred Bentley with the consulting firm Avalier.
Just from a purely economic standpoint, it is patients filling beds, but those patients are typically low-margin patients.
The longer patients are admitted, the more lucrative customers, like those seeking elective surgery, are crowded out. If flu-related care leaves hospitals in the red, Bentley says they'll look to make up losses with higher prices next year. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The founder of the car service Uber is selling about $1.4 billion worth of his stake in the company. Travis Kalanick was ousted in June as the board there looked for management with less drama. Kalanick is selling about a third of what he owns. Uber is privately held. Kalanick is said to be a paper billionaire. This would make him a real rich man. Back to our series about the retail jobs shock. One headline this morning is Sears to close 103 Kmart and Sears stores. With an estimated 12,000 retail stores closing this year amid online sales, which grew by 16% in the past year, what happens to the retail workers? Amazon et al. Have created tens of thousands of jobs at what are called fulfillment centers, picking and packing online orders. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra looks at whether those jobs are a good fit for the laid-off retail workers.
In an office park in Burlington, New Jersey, there is a warehouse operated by Radial, a company that packs online orders for retailers, in this case, a cosmetics company. It's a big building, about the size of 7 football fields, and it's busy with more than 100 workers grabbing products from plastic bins, packing them into boxes, and sliding them onto conveyor belts to be shipped. I came to ask these workers a question. Where'd you work before this? There's 21-year-old Kately Sosa.
I used to work at a dry cleaner's.
27-year-old Daniel Pooter.
I was a logistics broker.
72-year-old Sam Busvikian.
At 22 years in Quickie Manufacturing Corporation, I was a warehouse manager.
You get the point. They haven't been selling shoes at the mall. Employment at U.S. retail stores dropped by 0.3%, or almost 44,000 jobs during the past year. But the warehousing industry has almost made up the difference, growing by more than 2.5%, or nearly 35,000 jobs. Andrew Flowers is an economist with the job site Indeed.com.
It seems like an obvious transition, right? That like if I work at a mom and pop general department store in a town and it closes, why can't I, you know, go get a job at the Amazon fulfillment center?
But Flowers says Indeed tracked the search patterns of millions of brick and mortar retail sales workers this year. They're clicking on job postings in customer service, at call centers, and in retail, but generally not at warehouses. Ellen Davis at the National Retail Federation says the jobs require different skills.
Someone who has worked at a retail store as a cashier or in sales will likely have deep experience in customer service, relating with people, handling conflict.
Working at a fulfillment center tends to be solitary and also physical. You may have to lift heavy boxes or operate machinery. Working in a warehouse can pay better than retail, on average about $16 an hour for stock clerks compared to $12 an hour for retail sales workers. Radial eventually came up with the name of a worker who'd made the switch, 26-year-old Samantha McQuagan. She quit her job at Party City in May to work at Radial's Burlington Fulfillment Center. She'd been in retail for 10 years and says her schedule was all over the place. Now it's consistent.
I like knowing that I'm going to be able to get home by a certain time. I like having weekends to myself.
And she admits there's another upside to working at a fulfillment center. No more dealing with problem customers. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
I used to work picking and shipping merchandise to supplement my radio income after high school. I was decent at forklift, crummy at remembering the long SKU numbers. Fairfield, Maine. Back then, we didn't call them fulfillment centers. That was a warehouse. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.